It's my joy to be with you this morning. I am so excited about our topic this morning, exciting tools for sharing your faith. Let me tell you where we're going, give you just a little bit of an overview. I'm going to do just a little introduction and put these tools in a context so you kind of understand how they came about. We're going to talk about some hurdles and obstacles to sharing our faith, because all of us have those. Some of them are a little higher than others, but all of us have hurdles and obstacles for sharing our faith. And we're going to talk about that. You're going to talk about that among yourselves, and then we're going to talk about it as part of a big group. The big part of what we're going to spend our time on are these exciting tools, the tools called Express Your Faith. And if you've ever been to a Costco or a Sam's Club or a Publix, you know how they have the person sitting there that has the little bitty samples that are just one bite? Have you guys done that before? Yeah? Right? And you take that bite and you go, wow, I want the full portion of that, right? Well, what I'm hoping to do this morning is to give you that little taste, that little bite, so that you say, I want more of these tools for Express Your Faith. That's what we're trying to do this morning, is hopefully I can expose you to these tools in a way where you take that bite and you say, I want more. Then we'll finish up with next steps, because what I don't want to have happen is for you to get a taste of these tools and then just walk out and nothing else happens. You kind of heard about them, oh yeah, those are good, and nothing else happens. So I'm going to give you some ways to take some next steps, because if you just walk out of here and you like these tools and you don't take any next steps, then what's happened to me with these tools is I just felt guilty because I knew them, but I didn't take any next steps. And so I don't want you to make the mistake that I did when I first got exposed to these tools and I didn't do anything with them. So I'm going to give you some next steps. That sound okay? All right. Well, my name is Lee Bates. I'm on staff at Perimeter Church in the role of Director of Evangelism. And Randy Pope is our founding pastor and lead teacher. And he has created a real movement with Life on Life missional discipleship. That missional part is so important there. And I want to just recognize Charles Hooper. He led us in our devotions this morning. Charles and I serve on staff together in the Life on Life team. And underneath the umbrella of Life on Life missional discipleship, this movement that's literally all over the world, is a missional element. And that missional element comprises these tools called Express Your Faith. So it's under the big umbrella of Life on Life, and these tools are Express Your Faith. So that helps you get a little bit of a context. Well, let's talk a little bit about hurdles and obstacles that every one of us in this room, we all have hurdles and obstacles to sharing our faith. And the first thing I want you to do is find maybe in your rows no more than four people, because you're only going to have just one or two sentences. But I want you to answer this question. You could have gone to a lot of different breakout sessions. Why are you here? Why did you come to this breakout session? So I'm going to give you about 30, 45 seconds. Turn to your neighbor, three or four of you. Each person, share. Why did you come here? Yeah, my bad. Responses. if you don't mind sharing. Why'd you come this morning? Yes, please. Wow. Okay. Very good. Her children don't quite get the message. Who else? Why are you here? Why'd you come to this breakout session? Somebody else. Yeah.
This is what it's all about.
Is sharing our faith, right? Yeah. Yeah. This is what it's all about. Somebody else. Why else are you here? Yes. And I'm in your shoes. I'm. What's your name? Steve. You and I resonate because I'm the same way. This is the one that makes us the most uncomfortable, right? And so that's why I'm so thankful there's so many of you in here. Maybe one or two more. Why are you here? Yes, right here.
Impacting employees. There's Jeff Richard, mentalist, employees, directly.
Right. Yeah, some tools to be able to use with your employees. Great. Maybe one more. Yes. Okay, great. And this is the number one problem, right? Is our relationship with our Creator, right? All right. We touched on this. I want you to get with the same group, about 45 seconds. What are the top 2 to 3 reasons, maybe each person give one reason, for us not sharing our faith? There are a lot of reasons, so get with your group. And share. Well, what are some of those reasons why we don't share our faith? About 10 more seconds, maybe one more person share. All right, great. If you can direct your attention back up here one more time. Thank you very much. All right, let me get a couple of responses. What are some of these reasons for us not sharing our faith? What are some of the common ones? Yes, sir.
I think fear of confrontation.
Ooh, fear of confrontation. Exactly right. Yes, what's another one?
We think we don't have the time.
We think we don't have the time. Well, what's something else we think we don't have? The knowledge or the answers, right? What if they ask me a question I don't know the answer to? Right? What happens then? What's another reason? What's another reason we don't commonly share our faith? I'm sorry?
Fear of rejection.
Yes. Exactly right. We don't want to damage that relationship, right? Right? That's a real fear we have. Maybe one or two more. Yes, ma'am.
Fear of looking foolish.
Ooh, yes. Especially if they ask that question, right, that we don't know the answer to, right? Looking foolish. Maybe one more. Yes. Yes. Very good. Yes, feeling like you don't have the answers. Right. Yes, one more.
Fear of being called a hypocrite.
Ooh, fear of being called a hypocrite. Yes, that's another one. That's another reason. All right. Here's a little bit tougher question. And maybe we'll just do this as a group. What are the lies behind some of these reasons? Because that's what we really need to get to, right? We need to fail. We need to put that mirror up to ourselves. Put God's truth up to ourselves. Well, what's really underneath some of those things that we just mentioned? Yes. 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 Did you hear that? She said that believing the lie that we think we are the ones responsible for them coming to faith, right? And that feeds into that lie that we have to have all the answers, right? Who has all the answers? Is there anybody at this conference that has all the answers that a non-Christian would ask him? Of course not. We don't, but we believe that, right? What's another lie that we're believing?
Thinking that they're not interested.
Ooh, thinking that they're not interested, right? Right, and we're not sure are they interested or not. We're going to talk about, I'm going to give you a little analogy to try to key us into what does it look like? How would we know if somebody's interested? How do we know whether to take a next step with them or not? We're going to talk about that in just a minute. Right. Maybe one more. Yeah, all the way in the back. Yes, sir.
We don't really believe that God would really want to use us, and we're qualified to be used. We have an impact.
If you don't mind, stand up so everybody can hear you. I want everybody to hear what you're saying.
Yeah, I would say that we really don't believe that God wants to use me. I'm not qualified. I'm not the pastor. I'm not the evangelist. So I don't feel worthy and called.
Yes. Yes, a lot of times we don't feel worthy. We don't feel, how could God use me with this person? Exactly right. Maybe one more. What's another lie that we're believing about some of these reasons? Yeah, one more. Oh, yeah. Yeah, if I were to take this plane off, man, I'm just going to crash and burn, right? How am I going to land the plane? If they sparked a spiritual interest, how in the world, what would I do then? All right, one more all the way in the back.
I'm really not equipped. Somebody else is better to do this.
Yes, yes. Somebody else can do this, right? All right. All right, one more. Yeah, I know you want to share one more. I'm sorry, one more time? Yes. Yes, exactly right. It's just an excuse, right? So, when we face some of those, we see how deceitful the evil one is. To have us believe some of those things. That we have to have all the answers. One of the ones that we touched on that we didn't talk about the fears of it, damaging the relationship. And that's a real one. And that's why I'm so glad you're here to get a little taste of some of these tools. Because we're going to talk about how you can take a step towards someone without damaging the relationship. And you'll know when how do you know to keep going or how do you know to stop, okay? So we're going to talk a little bit about that. But that's another thing that would I want to damage the relationship with someone potentially? But if it didn't damage the relationship, they may come a step closer to Christ. Is that worth it? Now, we don't want to be offensive, but we certainly want to take a step of faith and show courageous boldness when God prompts us. What I want you to do now is
something fun.
You have a sticky note there, right, on your row. What I want you to do is I want you to think about, do you have one or maybe two of the top people you would like to see come to faith? Do you know someone that you're pretty sure they're not a Christian? I want you to write their name. So I want you to write, let's see, I'm going to pick it out here. I want you to write, if the name is John, I want you to write big letters like that, John or Susan or Rick or Alicia, whoever. I want you to write their name on the sticky note. One or two people, write the name on the sticky note. And then what I want you to do is you can just pass it maybe down to the end of the row. I want you to come up. We're going to put those sticky notes all along this wall. You have to push them. They'll stick on the wall. We're going to put those sticky notes all the way along the wall. So as soon as you get it, get up, bring your sticky note up here. Thank you, Kevin. Lead the way. Put your sticky note on the wall. Somebody you know that you would like to see come to faith. So pass your sticky notes down if you're right along the wall. And just put those sticky notes up here all along the wall. Yeah, put them all over. Yeah, push them really hard so they'll stay. Push them hard so they'll stay. Great. Thank you. We can put them over here too, folks. You don't have to put them. Yes, put some over here. Over here on this side. Thank you. Put them over there as well. Yeah, push them really good so they'll stay. You didn't know I was going to make you work a little bit, did you? All right, if you will, take your seats. What I'd like to do now is I want us to transition to giving you an overview of what this looks like, the tools, and then we're going to dive a little bit into each one of these tools. But the first one I want to talk about is transitioning to a spiritual topic. So that's what we would want to do. Is we're talking about whether it's family or your work or sports or your kids or whatever it is, you would want to be able to transition to a spiritual topic. If you were to get that far where you could raise just a little spiritual flag up for them, and then you saw that they were willing to go a step farther, then you could ask them this question. Could I show you a little diagram? I'm going to show you the diagram in just a minute that I'm talking about. But if you could get them to talk about a spiritual topic and say, hey, could I show you a little diagram? And then you would draw and discuss the diagram with them. At the end of the diagram, this diagram is so wonderful because it piques someone's curiosity to think, wow, I think I may want to investigate Jesus. And you know what? Joseph is the only guy I know that I could do it with in a safe environment. I can investigate. Joseph can help me do that. So this diagram raises a curiosity so that they would think, yes, I want to investigate Jesus. And then what you would do is you would take one of these tools I'm going to talk about in just a minute, and you would show them, if they wanted to investigate Christ, you would give them one of these little Cliff Note books. Give it to them and let them read it. There's four of them, and they have the four questions that most non-Christians want to know the answer to. We're going to talk about them in detail in just a minute. But you would hand them one of these, give them instruction. In the back of the book, it has the Gospel of John, chapters 1 through 5, 6 through 10, 11 through 16, or 15, and then 16 through 21. And that's what does the converting, folks. Probably most of you spent a little time in God's Word this morning. And it shapes us. Well, it does the same thing with those who don't yet know Him. It calls them to Himself. So that's what you would do. You would give them instruction, and then you would meet weekly, one book at a time, for 4 weeks. Okay? Let's talk a little bit about how to know when to make that step. Randy Pope tells a story. He was in a workout facility, you know, doing his exercising, and somebody from across the room saw Randy, I mean all the way across the room, and said, "Hey, Randy." And Randy said, "Oh, hey, Bill." And Randy was ready to go and finish his workout. Well, he could see Bill walking toward him. So Randy paused his workout, and he began to walk toward Bill. And they got to the middle of the area, and they were carrying on a conversation. And Bill got a little too close. You know, have you ever had somebody talk to you where they're right here, right? I see some heads nodding, right? He's right here. So what Randy did, Randy Pope, who was here last year, you guys may remember me if you were here last year. What he did was he just politely took a step back so they could carry on the conversation. Well, what do you think Bill did? Bill stepped right here, right? Randy politely took another step back and got that normal kind of space. What did Bill do? Randy said he played a game just with himself. He backed all the way up. Bill kept coming. Randy would take a step back. Bill would come. All the way again. He went all the way against the wall. Now, let me pull out two analogies from that story. Number one, sometimes we talked about it earlier. Sometimes we as Christians, we can seem like Bill to our non-believing friends. I've done that before. I'm ashamed of it, but I have. been in somebody's face, and I wouldn't let up. So we don't want to be like that. But the second analogy is, when somebody is across the room, figuratively speaking, and we raise a little spiritual flag, and I'm going to show you some of those transitions in just a minute, what we want to see is, we want to see, are they taking a step toward me when I just raise just that little bitty spiritual thing? Are they taking a step toward me, figuratively speaking? Or does that kind of scare them and they take a step back, right? If they take a step back, what should we do? Yeah, we take two big steps back so they don't think, oh, I thought Lee was really going to come after me with that Bible stuff. And it's safe now. I realize he's not going to do that, right? That's what we want them to think. So just remember that analogy, that if you raise a little spiritual flag, you see, do they take a step towards you? And this is about God stirring in their heart. That's what we want to see, and that's an evidence that God may be stirring in their heart. If He's not, and they take a step back, that's okay. You can take a step back, right? We talked about it earlier. It's not my responsibility to convert them. It's just my responsibility to be an ambassador, right? So we just take a step back, and we wait. Maybe there's another time, or maybe they approach us later and say, hey, Lee, remember when you asked me about that a couple of months ago, right? And they may come, they may do that, right? Does that make sense? Great. Let's talk about a couple of tools of how to actually make that transition. One of them is share, S-H-A-R-E. You're talking about something secular, and then you could raise the little spiritual flag of, hey, Bill, we've talked about sports and family and business. We've talked about all these things before, but I don't think I've ever heard about your church, and it's H for home, church. I don't think we've ever talked about church involvement. Did you attend a church growing up? And then once again, you see, are they stepping way back? And then if they do, then you just drop it. You talk about your family, or talk about business, talk about the weather or whatever, right? But if they do that, the A is for attendance. And it may come out, oh yeah, I went to church. My parents, they took me to church all the time, but I don't ever go anymore. So you may get a clue about their A for attendance. Then you could ask them, well, did the church, was it helpful? Was your church environment, was it healthy? Was it helpful for you? See what they say, and then you could do the R, and that's reasons for the church. And you could say, you know what, there are a lot of good things churches do, but one of the reasons, really there's three reasons I think the church exists. Number one, to help people find purpose. More than just ourselves. We know that there's something more than ourselves. So to find a purpose that's bigger than ourselves. To find freedom. Not just so I can go do whatever I want, but so I can have the power to do what I know is right. And then thirdly, assurance. That if something happens to me driving home, that I know I'm going to be okay. If I get into a fatal accident, that I'll be okay. Those are the reasons I think the church exists. Bill, do you agree? Whatever he says. Then, if I sense that he's open to that, then I ask him the question. Can I show you a little diagram? And then I'm going to show you the diagram. So that's the share tool. Once again, I'm just giving you just a little taste of this. Secular. Thank you. I may not have said that. You're talking about secular things. H for home church. A for attendance. R, reasons for the church. Purpose, freedom, assurance. And E, I'm sorry I didn't say E either. E is the exploratory question. Could I show you a diagram and to see if they want to explore spiritual things a little bit more? Right? S-H-A-R-E. Did you guys get that? S-H-A-R-E? The A is attendance at church. So S, secular, H, home church, A, attendance at church, R, reasons for the church, and E, exploratory question. If they're open to that, then you could say, hey, can I show you a little diagram? Right? Next one, 1 minute testimony. And there's a reason it is 60 seconds, because a 3 to 5 minute testimony usually morphs into a 7 to 8 minute testimony, and then it becomes a monologue, right? Then we start telling all these kind of things, and it really becomes a monologue rather than a conversation. So we want to be able to share our testimony in 60 seconds. And every one of you can do it. Every one of you can do it. I absolutely assure you, every one of you can share your testimony of how you came to faith in 60 seconds. And that's a great tool to have. Once again, we're talking about different tools for our tool belt. The next one is a spiritual journey. And we can thank Oprah and other folks in the secular world for making this something that we can talk about. That we could say, hey, you know what? We've talked about a lot of things before, but I don't think I've ever heard about your spiritual journey. I'm not sure I've ever told you about mine. Once again, you're just seeing, will they take a step toward me or will they take a step back? If they take a step towards us, then you can share maybe just a brief one of yours, just a minute or two, and see what they say. And then say, can I show you a diagram? You guys tracking with me here? The next one is The Answer. Randy Pope has written a wonderful book. The subtitle is Putting an End to the Search for Life Satisfaction. And it's a story about someone who is about to commit suicide, and Randy used these tools with them, and they came to faith. The chapters are great for guys because they're just two or three pages each, right? So even a guy, even though it looks like a thick book, even a guy can read this or at least read part of it. And what the great thing about this book is it encourages them to investigate Jesus Christ, possibly with you. So you could just hand them this book and say, hey, you know, this book has some great spiritual principles in it. Would you mind reading this and just giving me your assessment, and maybe we can talk about this? So that would be another way you could transition. These are just ways to transition to a spiritual topic. Okay? So let me talk about this diagram. It's also called the box diagram. And what I want to do is, if you were sitting down with someone and you had lunch with them, you've been praying for this person, you know them pretty well. You know, they're friends of yours to a certain degree. And you were having lunch, you raised a little spiritual flag to see if they were figuratively speaking, stepping towards you. If you saw they were, you've been praying for them. Lord, this is the right opportunity. And you ask them the question, can I show you a diagram? They say, sure. So here's what the little diagram looks like. Now, it would take a little over 15 minutes, 15, 18, maybe 20 minutes to draw a diagram. Remember I told you about that little spoon? You know, I'm going to give you a little taste of the diagram. I'm going to really go fast, but I'm going to give you a little taste of what this diagram is about that gets them curious about wanting to investigate Jesus Christ. So imagine I'm sitting across the table with Bill. In fact, I just did this with a guy named Brian, two guys actually, Brian and Ellie. We were sitting at a Jersey Mike's, and I folded over a Jersey Mike's napkin about 2 weeks ago. Here's what it looks like. So I said, I'll just use Brian because he was one of the guys I was sharing it with. I said, Brian, I know you may not fully understand, and it raises a lot of questions, but just bear with me here. I want to show you, according to the Bible, I realize you have questions about the Bible and you're not sure what that is, but according to the Bible, God made us with three primary drives. We have a spiritual drive, the desire to know God. We have an intellectual drive, to know right and wrong. You guys are engineers and entrepreneurs in here, and you know we want to know things. That's just a normal drive in our life, right? And we also have a physical drive. We have a drive for water. We get thirsty. We have a drive for food. We have a drive for sex. We have a drive for exercise. They're all God-given drives, and they're all healthy. And when we have them in this balance where the spiritual drive is the stronger drive, then we enjoy purpose, freedom, and assurance. Now, Brian, I don't know of anybody who I've ever met who would say they're perfect. So I think you would agree, we've all gone against God. And when that happens, what happens to these drives is the spiritual drive stays, or excuse me, the spiritual drive begins to weaken to the point that we even may try to do some pseudo-spiritual things to make up for it, because we know there's something's not right. And so when we see the person begging for food on the exit ramp or entrance ramp, we may pull out $20 and give to them, and it feels good for a little bit, but we do those things to try to make up for that. The intellectual drive stays about the same, but as you can see here, the physical drive, it begins to take over a little bit. And that could be alcohol, it could be drugs, it could be pornography, it could be a lot of things. This one begins to grow. Now, Brian, I could draw 100 different boxes, but let me just draw one more here. If left unchecked, what can happen to us is the spiritual begins to fade so much that we don't even think there is a God. In fact, we know there's no God. And that's what we begin to believe. Our intellectual drive stays the same. But look at this. This is what happens to our physical drive. It begins to dominate us. And now alcohol is something that we may not see it, but it's controlling us instead of us controlling it. Or it could be pornography. It could be a drug addiction. It could be a lot of different things. But this drive takes over. Now, Brian, I want you to imagine that a person finds themselves here. Now, parentheses for you guys. I didn't say, Brian, imagine, you know, I think you're here, right? I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, imagine somebody finds themselves here and they meet someone over here. And this person has their drives in this proportion, where their spiritual drive is stronger than their intellectual and their physical. So their spiritual is stronger. And this person enjoys that purpose, freedom, and assurance. And this person knows this person. And they see this person go through something really, really hard. Maybe multiple times. Maybe they lose their spouse to cancer. Maybe their business goes bankrupt. They have something that really goes wrong. And this person sees this person going through that hard time, and they wonder, what is different about this person? What is different about them? I don't know what it is. Brian, how does somebody get from here to here? Remember, that's one of the questions I put up on the board earlier. How does somebody get from here to here? And then I listened to Brian, and these two guys, Brian and Ellie, answer it. And they gave answers like going to church, praying, reading the Bible, going to some kind of classes. So whatever your friend may say, and then you can say to them, you know what? I think there's only one way a person gets from here to here. And it's in a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. That's how somebody gets from here to here. Now, Brian, I know that Jesus certainly is questionable in your mind, but there's a guy, once again, I'm fast-forwarding through this diagram, but there's a guy named C.S. Lewis who was not a Christian, and he did a lengthy investigation as a non-Christian. He did a lengthy investigation to find out who Jesus is, and he studied by many, many universities all around the world, very, very prominent intellectual and wrote a lot of books. And here's what he said. When he investigated Jesus Christ, he found that there are only three conclusions you can draw to be intellectually honest. He is a liar, he is a lunatic, or he is Lord of the universe. Now, Brian, you and Ellie, if you investigated Jesus and you found him to be a liar or a lunatic, you'd be a fool to follow him, right? But if you investigated him and you found him to be the Lord, you'd be a fool not to follow him. Now, there are some good ways to try to do this, but they'd be very, very hard. You could do it, but it'd be very, very hard. Going to the internet, start your Bible in the book of Genesis, and I believe the answers are in there, but it'd be hard to find. But there's another way, and that would be Cliff Notes. And then you could bring out the Cliff Notes. Right? You guys tracking with me? Does that make sense? So I drew the box diagram. I asked the question, how does someone get from here to here? Then I did a C.S. Lewis, liar, Lord, lunatic, to challenge their thinking about, well, I thought Jesus was just a good moral teacher, or I thought he was just a prophet, or no, he's got to fit in one of these categories to be intellectually honest. And then explaining the wrong approach or the difficult approach of going to the internet and doing all that. Or you could do these Cliff Notes, okay? So let me tell you a little bit about these booklets. The first one answers the question, is the Bible God's Word? And the first part of the little booklet talks about, is the Bible God's Word? I'm not sure you can see it, but there's different little titles here to help explain that. The second part is the Gospel of John. It has little questions in the margin here. What you want to challenge your friend to do, the answers are right here beside the question. And when you get to the question here, just look over here and just write your answer down right here in the margin. In fact, this one asks the question, why was Christ called the Lamb of God? John chapter 1. I met with a guy named Edwin back in January or February, and I think that's when he came to faith. When I helped him understand why Jesus is the Lamb of God. He had no idea. He just wrote a question mark right there. He had no idea why Jesus is known as the Lamb of God. And when I helped him understand about the death angel and the blood over the doorway and all that, he was like, wow, I never knew that. And we just went through the booklet. I gave him book 2, which answers the question, how can Christians believe? We talked about being intolerant. How can Christians believe that people outside the Christian faith deserve eternal punishment? That is really intolerant. Well, it answers that question in the first part of this book. And the second part is the Gospel of John. And I'm encouraging Edwin, read the Gospel of John every day. You can read the first part, go through it, but read the Gospel of John every day because I want God's Word. God's Word is what does the converting, not us. Book number 3. Talking about intolerant, how can Christians believe that Jesus is the only way to God? That's what we believe, right? It's not Allah. It's not Muhammad. We believe Jesus is the only way to God. How can we believe that? Well, it answers that in the first part of the book. And then John chapters 11 through 15. And then book 4 is what is required for eternal life. If there's merit to the answer to these questions, then what's required to have eternal life? That's what you would do with these booklets. Well, let's talk about some next steps. This one's not going to surprise you. We've got to pray, pray, pray. You know who we need to pray for the most? I need to pray from my heart. That's what I need to do. I need to pray from my heart that I'll love the people in my life that don't know Jesus more than I do right now. And then we can pray for them as well. Pray for God to be stirring in them. So when I raise that little spiritual flag, they'll step toward me. And I can take another step toward them. Second thing, build genuine friendships with those who don't know Christ. Not just, hey, how are you? My neighbor driving by. I kind of know them because that's their car. But really, do I know them? Have I had them over to my house? Have I invited them to meet me for lunch? Build genuine friendships with our friends in our unique sphere. You know, we talked about, well, somebody else will do it. God's given each one of us in this room a unique sphere of those people in our sphere. And He wants to use us. Here's the big one. You want a next step? This is it right here. October 7th and 8th. It's a Friday night and Saturday, 7 to 9:30 Friday night, 8:30 to noon on Saturday. You can fly into Atlanta, get to Atlanta at 3 o'clock on a Friday. You can leave Friday, or excuse me, leave Saturday by 3 o'clock. You won't even be on the ground 24 hours. You can get all of this training, 100% of it, from Randy, who developed it. We're also doing one in July 21st and 22nd. And I have to admit a huge mistake. I'm embarrassed to tell you this. That little card you have has the wrong dates on it. And it's my fault that the dates are wrong. It's a Friday and Saturday night. These are the correct dates right here. It's a Friday and Saturday night. Southern California. We'll have more details about that. We don't know exactly where it's going to be. Orange County, San Diego, Los Angeles. And then we'll also be doing one in the spring in Atlanta as well. Another way to have next steps is go to ifgod.com. This diagram that I did for you is in the full diagram. Randy does it himself, so you can go to ifgod.com. Last next step is, it's my privilege on staff at Perimeter to take the training that Randy has developed and to put it in a package. You guys are probably familiar with Crown Ministries and how you can buy the, you know, the DVDs and get the training. Well, that's what we're doing, and it's going to be available in early 2017. Many of you are in those small groups, and this is perfect for going through small groups to get the instruction and the training and also the coaching. So you can visit fcci.org, and Terrence and I are talking about possible pre-release discounts. All right. Well, what I'd like to do now is open it up for maybe just a few questions. And maybe some of you guys have some of the answers. I'm not sure I will, but I'll be glad to take a stab at it too. I think we have about 3 or 4 minutes left. So how about a question or two, and then we'll be dismissed. Question? Yes, sir. Yes.
What if the person you're talking about is a pretty morally straight person? I mean, you know, they're a really good person. They don't have a lot of, they don't see themselves as having a lot of physical issues going on. And
right.
That, even though they're not really spiritual.
Right.
Are they going to identify
right.
with that?
And they may not, and that's a great question. And if you come to Atlanta on October 7th and 8th, there are a couple of more diagrams that you can get. This is one of several diagrams, and that is a good question, and Randy addresses that question. He addresses that and gives you a tool. Hey, have you guys ever thought about building a little flower box outside your window? You know what I'm talking about? You know, all you would need is just a saw maybe to cut the boards and a hammer and nail and maybe a screwdriver to screw it into the... You just need just a couple of tools. Well, if I try to build that box without the tools, then I'm going to be so frustrated. But with the right tools on my tool belt, then I can enjoy building that and other things, right? We just need the tools to be able to share our faith. And so there are some other tools that this diagram may not address that person, but there are a couple of other tools that are shared in the big seminar. How about another question? That's a great question. Other questions? Yes, Kevin.
Well, Jason, I know
you. Yes.
I was wondering, would you mind sharing an example, a real-life example of how this has worked?
Sure. Okay, yeah. Let me share about a guy named Jared, who was in my small group. In fact, Kevin and I were in a small group with Jared. 2 years ago, Jared and I were in a small group together, and when we were doing the Life on Life missional discipleship, Jared's on our church staff. He works with youth. He relocated from another area, and when we started praying for other people, Jared had zero non-Christian friends. He wasn't making it up. I mean, he literally had zero non-Christian friends. Fast forward to a year ago, Jared took a step of faith, because we all have to do that to share our faith. We all have to take a step of faith. He joined an adult soccer league. He knew nobody. He just signed up for the county soccer league. He began to build friendships, go to lunch with these guys, went back to their apartments, played FIFA with them, went to lunch with them, got to know several of the guys. He raised a spiritual flag, said, "Hey, could I show you a diagram?" Showed him the diagram. A guy named Dejan. Dejan just came to faith back this past spring. He's sharing with another guy on the soccer team named Mitchell right now that we think Mitchell has come to faith. But there's a real life example of a guy who had zero non-Christian friends, zero genuine relationships. And he just took a little step of faith and walked into the light, took another little step of faith, another little step of faith. My buddy Edwin that I mentioned about the Lamb of God, I'd be glad to tell you a little bit more about that story. Wonderful story about a guy who owns a little pizza shop that I just frequent. I was intentional about saying hello to him. Never met the guy before, just intentional saying hello to him. And one thing led to another. We struck up a friendship. He'd come and sit with me. And about 3 months after, he would just come and sit with me from time to time. I raised a little spiritual flag. Raised another one the next time I was in there. Raised another one. And then it got to the point where I was comfortable to say, "Hey, could I show you a little diagram?" Did a little diagram. He said, Yeah, I think I would like to investigate. And Edwin is now in our journey group, first year. Yeah, wonderful, wonderful. Yeah, last question.
I've heard you say several times I raised a spiritual flag.
Yes.
A few examples
is doing share. I share my one-minute testimony. Remember, I gave you a couple of those.
So,
sharing, I ask him about a spiritual journey. "Hey, Edwin, tell me." Because Edwin's actually an immigrant from Venezuela, the guy in the pizza shop. And I just said, "Hey, tell me about your spiritual journey." You know, one of those times. And he would see me doing some study stuff. So he said, "What are you working on?" Well, I didn't just say, "Oh, just some church stuff," and leave it at that. I said, "Well, I'm in a group with some other men, and we're reading the Bible." And so what I was doing is I was just seeing, when I'm saying that, I'm just seeing, is he taking a step toward me, or when I use the word Bible, is he freaking out? Because if he's freaking out, then I'm going to take big steps back. I'm not going to mention it for three or four times when I come to visit. I won't say a word. I'll just ask him about his kids, ask him about whatever, right? And then I'll just see if God's stirring in him. Right? And so that's what I mean. Thank you for asking that. That's a great question. That's what I mean about raising spiritual flags. Somebody tell me what time it is. Is it time to go? 11:33. I'll tell you what, I'll take one more. I'll try to give a quick answer, and then if you have more questions, you see me. Yes, ma'am.
I can give another quick example. We go to a Roman church, and we took this as a family. And our daughter, who's here at the conference, had two friends, and she didn't draw the diaphragm, but she used the tools of the share. And these girls said, "Yes, I'm interested. I used to go to church. I'm not going to church anymore." They all work together there in Minnesota. And she started meeting the girls with those four books. And now they are doing a Bible study. So now with the two of them, and now we're adding another girl. So she's leading three other girls. And it started with those books. Those books are very simple. They're easy to use. And we're just going to see what God is going to do. Because they're so grateful that they brought another friend in. So it's not difficult to do. It's just a matter of
using the tools. Praying for our heart first, praying for their hearts, and using the tools. I did want to mention, after they come to faith, there's four more little books that are called Next Steps books that helps them get started with walking with Jesus. So there's another tool here. So let me close this in prayer, and then if you have more questions, you're welcome to see me. You can see Charles, Wanda, right? You can see. You can get these books by going to perimeter.org/express. We're also going to put these on the FCCI website. They're not up yet, but we're going to put these on the FCCI website. But you can get all of this material, perimeter.org/express, without an E, express. Thank you very much. Let me pray for us. Lord Jesus, would you change our hearts? Lord, my heart needs to be changed first. So I can love people well. who don't yet know you. Lord, would you stir in our hearts so that we'll have a love and affection for those who don't yet know you. We have the hope of glory in us, and may we be your ambassadors and take the message and ministry of reconciliation that you've given us to others. Lord, would you stir among us that we would make the time to use these tools in a way that we can practice them so that we can use them with those who don't yet know you, that you may see many, 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 these people that their names are represented on these sticky notes, that they may come to know you in this next year. Would you be so pleased to do that in us for the glory of our Master? Amen. 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 You're dismissed.